And those who have already fallen asleep in Christ, we're going to see them again. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And when that life-giving spirit gives you life, it's eternal life. Not clicking. Say? Oh, nice. Yeah, thanks, man. Let truth abide in you. Okay. So we've heard about the resurrection. We've heard that Christ raised from the dead. We've heard from eyewitnesses. And we've heard about what that means for us. And 1 Thessalonians 4 has another great passage about this. If you want to go and look at that. And what is our response? What was it that Jesus wanted from Thomas? He wanted him to believe. And Paul said that this gospel is something that you stand in. It's something you receive. It's something you walk in. And to the Colossians, he says, as you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so continue to walk in him, rooted and established in the faith, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So we're supposed to, Jude says, build ourselves up on our most holy faith. We're supposed to, also Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. As we live by faith, as we abound in the faith, God is filling us with his spirit. He's supplying us with his grace. He's transforming us. He's producing his fruit in us. And he says here, John says here, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. What did we hear from the beginning? Let me just dip back to Paul's writings for a second. I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received. For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. If that which you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father. What did you hear from the beginning? Christ died for your sins. You are forgiven. God loves you. You've been made right with God. You've got peace with God. What's the first thing Jesus says to him when he raises? Peace to you. Peace to you. What did the angel say? Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. We have peace with God because of the blood of Jesus. Woo! That's got to stay in us. We've got to keep our hearts in that truth. Otherwise, we slip back into works. We try and earn our way to God. If that which you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. So we've got to stay in this message. We've got to keep our hearts alive in this message. It's not an Easter story. We've got a hope. It's a living hope. It's a new and living way. And as we keep this message in our hearts, like the psalmist says, when you meditate in the word and you delight in the word, you're like the tree planted by streams of living water, roots growing down into living water, and you prosper in everything you do. Your leaves never wither and you bear fruit in season. So as we continue to live in the truth makes us free, we're filled with the Spirit, and we're abiding and we're in relationship and communion and fellowship with God. And that fellowship, that communion with God is where eternal life is dispensed into us. At the end of this letter of 1 John, he says, this is eternal life, knowing God. Jesus said it in his prayer, John 17:3 as well. It's through knowing him. How do we know him? How do we abide in him? How do we stay in relationship with him? We've got to keep filling our heart with the truth. We've got to keep exchanging that truth with God. And that truth gets in us and it changes us. And this is the promise that he's promised us, eternal life. And now, little children, abide in him. We just talked about that. That when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Wow. Sounds like if we don't abide in him, It might be something like, oops. We don't want oops. We don't want to be those ones that are saved by the skin of our teeth, or as one who escapes as if through flames. We want to run well, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Good tree, good fruit, right? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. He came to his own and they didn't recognize him. It's not a strange thing, Christian, to be rejected. It means you're a real Christian. Well, it could be, or it could mean that you're just, you know, some other weird thing, religious hypocrite, bashing people with the word. But anyone who desires to live godly will suffer persecution. Jesus says if you were of the world would listen to you and would love you. They crucified him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. And this is the hope that we have. That Jesus is coming back, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who remain will be called up to meet with the Lord in the air. There's a new heavens and a new earth. There's a judgment. There's a throne we stand before, but we stand before the throne in Christ, forgiven, righteous, redeemed, sons and daughters. And then we enter into the joy set before him. There's a reward. There's an eternal consequence of our lives here and now. And we shall see him as he is and we'll be like him. And I want to tell you that in the same way that on that day we'll see him as he is and we'll be like him, in the twinkling of an eye, Thessalonians says, in an instant. But the point is, the same power that is subduing all things to himself in Philippians, the same power that in that day, in the twinkling of an eye, is going to conform us to his image and finish this work that he's doing in us. That same power is the power that's available to us now through the gospel to change us. And that's why 2 Corinthians 3 talks about we're being transformed into that same image by the Spirit of the Lord as we see him, as we behold his glory. So the point is not just, well, one day we'll be made like Jesus in the meantime. You know, we're just stuck like this. That's not the gospel. It's about transformation. It's about salvation, working at our salvation. And it says that everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And that's the application. This is the hope of the resurrection. I just have to read a scripture from Revelation. We'll close with that. I have to. Revelation 20, if you want to ring along, read along, ring along. All right, I'll go from verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for new life. Thank you for the water of life. Thank you. You said if we believe in you, rivers of living water will flow from us. You've given to us to drink from the water of life. Because it's for this reason that you came, that we might have life, because you're completely good. God, we acknowledge your victory on the cross. We acknowledge and we remember the death and resurrection of Jesus. We thank you that because of what Jesus has done, mankind can be redeemed. We can be restored back to you, Father, because of the blood of Jesus. And once again, we can pick up where Adam failed in Christ by the power of your Spirit and pray, Father in heaven, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name in the earth. Your will be done, God, your kingdom come in our lives as we seek to purify ourselves just as he is pure, as we seek that which is your purpose, that which you've predestined us for, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. We praise you. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for the hope we have in you. We thank you for the good things to come. We thank you. We praise you. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good. That's all from me. Thank you.